Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel. As always, we express our gratitude to the Frohlich Financial Group. And this week's learning is sponsored by Moshe Leib and Ruth Stewart in memory of Ruth's father, Yosef Ben Yisrael, whose neshama should have an aliyah. Did you say and?
Should have been a mother as well.
And?
Devorah Bas Yaakov,
the neshamos, should have an aliyah. Okay. Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. I'm still giving you the Gemara, and you're still not bringing an extra person each. So, just saying one of us is keeping up our end of the deal. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so we are Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the top. Amalei Rav Yaakov Bar Avua La Abaye. Just want to make a hara on what we spoke about last week. If you remember last week, we had the story of Rabbi Avo, who had a son, Avimi. And even though Avimi himself had 5 sons, who were Bar Smichei, which the Maharsha had 2 different interpretations of. Either Bar Smichei meant they had Smicha, and they knew how to fulfill Kibbut Avim, or Bar Smichei meant they were Somech Al Shulchan Avim, they were living at home and on their dad's payroll, and I pointed out that both Pshatim could likely be overlapping. But in any case, despite Avimi having these 5 educated sons who should have felt gratitude to take care of their grandfather, Avimi was so excellent to Kibbut Avim, he did it himself. And the merit of his alacrity for Kibbut Avim, he had a breakthrough in understanding Mizmor Li Asaf. And last week we spoke about the Makna, the Sefer HaFlaz Kasha. What happened to the Gemara Megillah that says, Godol Talmud Torah Mikibbut Avim, that learning Torah supersedes honoring your parent. So why was he standing there holding the drink, bent over, waiting for his father to wake up? He should have gone back to the Beis Medrash. Learning supersedes Kibbut Avim. And the Machna had a big chiddush, that when is it that learning supersedes honoring parents? When it's honor. But when it's awe, when it's mora, then it comes first. So since when is giving a drink to your father mora, not kibud? So this was the chiddush of the Machna. He says, when your father asked for a drink, that's kibud avim. I'm sorry, that's yira. Once your father has asked for the drink, you're responding to bring it is yira, is mora, that's all. You're initiating even without being asked, that's covered. So Talmud Torah is greater. Don't interrupt your learning of Torah in order to be someone who initiates. But when the request has been made to be responsive, that supersedes even Talmud Torah. That was the answer of the Machna. But I want to suggest a different answer that occurs to me after the shiur last week, which is, who says there's Bittul Torah here? Right? The whole Machna's question is, why was he standing there being Mevatel Torah? Who says there was Bittul Torah? In fact, the Gemara says, Istaya Milsa V'Darash Avimi Mizmor La'asaf. He had a breakthrough. He had Siyata D'Shmaya in his learning and the merit of his Kibbut Avim, and he was able to interpret Mizmor La'asaf, which is what Tosfos tells you exactly what the breakthrough was. But what do you see clearly he was standing there doing? Learning. He was learning. So who says this bit the Torah? Why is the Machna asking? He's being Mavata Torah by standing there with the drink waiting for his father to wake up. That's Bittul Torah. He should have gone to learn. Who says that's Bittul Torah? He's actually thinking about Mizmor La'asaf, trying to have a breakthrough. So I want to suggest to you, it absolutely is Bittul Torah. Why? I think I shared this with you last year or the year before. The Gemara Megillah also says, Mevatlan Talmud Torah Mipnei Mikra Megillah. That if you're learning Torah and it comes time to hear the Megillah of Purim, you interrupt your learning and you go hear the Megillah. Freg the Achronim Akasha, what do you mean, Mevatlan Talmud Torah Mipnei Mikra Megillah? You're not canceling Torah learning to hear the Megillah. After all, the Megillah is one of the 24 books of Tanakh. If you listen to the Megillah, you're hearing Torah. How is it Bittul Torah to go hear the Megillah? Rav Avadya has a tiny little sefer called Madrich Leben Torah. In that little sefer, he gives the following answer. He says, you know, when you could be learning at a high level, and instead you're learning at a lower level, that too is Bittul Torah. You could be doing Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and you're just getting away with Gemara Rashi, it's Bittul Torah. You could be doing Gemara Rashi, you're just reading the art scroll, it's Bittul Torah. You could be reading an art scroll and learning Gemara. Instead, you're pleasantly choosing to make your way through a nice English art scroll book. It's Bittul Torah. Meaning, Bittul Torah is not just the difference between learning and not learning. Even within the gradations, even within the intensity and levels of learning, that too is Bittul Torah. So when he's standing there saying Mizmor LaAsaf, it's nice, it's learning, he's trying to understand the Mizmor. That's not the level of learning of sitting in the Beis Medrash. That's not the same level of learning he was capable of. Maybe that too, therefore, is Bittul Torah. Okay, that was a Ha'ara.
But he's by himself, he's limited by his own.
Correct, by himself.
But he's learning with someone else. He,
good, good, he's by himself, not the same... not the same level, yeah. What did I just see? What was I just learning? O chavrusa o misusa. O chavrusa o misusa. Ma'aber atzmo das. I don't even remember.
Why should you go to hear the Megillah? If that's the case, why should you go to hear the Megillah? You could be doing...
No, that's the chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara learns that the din derabanan of Megillah is so significant. The Gemara there has a whole discussion. Is it bigger than... Meis Mitzvah, Talmud Torah, which mitzvahs does it supersede, what doesn't, what's the hierarchy, Avoda, the Kohen of the Avoda, is Bittul for Meis Mitzvah, then certainly. So, but that's the Chiddush, Mevat and Talmud Torah, and the Mikra Megillah. The Kasha was, why is that even Bittul Torah? Once you understand it's Bittul Torah, okay, that's the din, that sometimes you're Mevat the Torah, even though it's Bittul Torah, it's for a higher mitzvah. Baruch Atah Adonai, Lord Melech Olam, Sha'akol Nieh B'dvaro. Rabin, Persumenisa. Good. Let's go weiter. Amarle, Rav Yaakov, Baravu, La Abaye. Everyone see where we are? I put the bracket, Lamed Aleph, and Beis. So, Rav Yaakov, Baravu asks Abaye, or he says to Abaye, Kegon Ana, I am beloved to my mother and father. Da'ar, Asina mi Beirav. When I'm sitting in the base of Midrash, Abba Madla Leikosa, my father holds a cup. V'ima Mazgali, and my mother pours a drink into that cup for me. So here I am learning in the Beis Medrash, and my parents are serving me. So Heichi Yavid, what should I do? Am I allowed to allow my parents to serve me? Kibbut Avim dictates that I serve my parents. Can I have my parents serve me? Look at Rashi. Kigon Ana, Shani Ahav LaAvi VYakir LaImi. I am beloved to my father. I'm precious to my mother. Interesting language here. VaOsim LiZos. They're doing this for me. Ma'ase, what's the correct thing to do? What's the proper thing to do? Says the Gemara, Amarle, Abaye told him that really you're allowed to accept it because they're choosing to do it. However, me'imach kabel, me'avuch lo tekabel. Let your mother serve you, don't let your father serve you. What's the difference between your mother and your father? Kevan dvar toru chol shadaita. Look at Rashi. Im tekabel mimenu avoda. That your father is going to Chol Shadaita, since he's a Talmud Chacham, if you allow him to serve you, he's going to have a Chalishas Adas. Chalishas Adas means a sense of despair. He's going to be brought down. He'll be made sad. Since he's a Talmud Chacham and deserves to be learning himself, he's serving you, he'll be made sad. Why are you worried about your father's Chalishas Adas and not your mother's Chalishas Adas? What's going on there? What? Oh, because the difference is, the father has his own chi of Talmud Torah. So really, he is sacrificing, forfeiting his Talmud Torah to be pouring you that drink to be there for you. Mother doesn't have her own chi of Talmud Torah, right? So what's the mother's fulfillment of Talmud Torah? Certainly we discussed at the beginning of the first Zman, we discussed, or maybe it was the end of last year, right, that the woman's exempt from Talmud Torah, she's mechuyevis in learning the mitzvahs that apply to her. She could have a kiyum in learning, but she has no chiyuv in learning. Part of her kiyum in learning is enabling the men in her life to learn. I don't know if you're allowed to say this anymore, but we're not afraid to say the emes. We're not afraid to say arashkafa. Arashkafa is women can learn, and they get a tremendous kiyum, but Torah's ena mitzuva va'osa. But part of their kiyum of Talmud Torah is also to enable the men in their life who have a chiv of Talmud Torah. So the father, Rabbi Yaakov Baravu's father, who had his own chiv of Talmud Torah, would have a chalishas adas if he's in the Beis Medrash bringing a drink to his son. He could be learning. But the mother, would have, it's exactly the opposite. Her essence, her kiyum, her fulfillment, her drive in Talmud Torah is to help him, and therefore it's something which is okay. If you look at the next page, you'll see the Marsha on page 2. The Marsha points out, where I underline. Hainu a kovet shroi atam alasos l'rabo. Aval ma rav osa kovet l'tamido, ki yacha eina machol. To mikomokum chol shadaita. Marsha's bothered by Akasha. Why was Abaye answering? Rav Yaakov bar Avuah saying, your father's a Talmud Chacham, he's going to have Chalisha Sadas, don't accept him being Mesharis you. Why? Because of Talmud Torah, Chalisha Sadas. Ask the Marsha, what happened to Avsha Machal Akvodo, Ravsha Machal Akvodo? Both in the case of a father and the case of a Rebbe, if they forfeit the honor due to them, you're exempt from honoring them. In other words, we accept it. When your father says it's okay, you can sit in my chair. You can sit in the chair. So why over here was Abaye not allowing Rav Yaakov bar Avuah to accept his father's forfeiting Avsha Machal Akvodo Kvodo Machal? So the Marsha is answering. When do we say Kvodo Machal? When you're supposed to honor them, and they say, don't worry, go about your stuff, you don't have to honor me. But when they're honoring you, they're being Mochal and they're covered by honoring you, that's when it's not right. And you should say, no dad, no Abba, it's fine, you go learn, I'll get my own drink. So Machal HaKvodo, the Maharsha is limiting what Machal HaKvodo means. Machal HaKvodo means normally you would go honor them that they're entitled to be Mochel, but they're being Mochel in order to honor you, that's a Mechila that you shouldn't accept. Yes?
The Maharsha has an easy term. Stam Mechila, okay, Mochel HaKvodo, but he has a deal. And by doing this for his son, he's impacting his deal. And deprecating his mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not stam and upshom.
But how is that more than normally being mochel?
Because normally, a father can be mochel when it doesn't encumber him. There is another side to this. By the father being mochel on his kavod, he is incurring on himself a shtickel avon because he should have been learning. And the fact is that he is making it goruah. By being called das, there's another element here which should prevent him.
Good. So normally when a father's mochel on kavod, he's exempting the son from the chiyuv of kavod, but there's like no harm, no foul. It is what it is. But here, his being mochel on the kavod by serving his son is coming at the expense of Talmud Torah. That he's not allowed to do. Good? Okay. Similar, I think, to what the Marsha is saying. Yeah.
One can conceive of a circumstance where the father is being by bringing a beverage.
His son, the Talmud Chacham.
Could
the Gadol HaDor's father bring him a hot drink?
Yeah.
Right, so you'd say the same thing. If the mother's there, she should bring the hot drinks for the two of them to learn B'chavrusa. That's not degrading to women. It's that everybody has a chalik in that Torah. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't put this recording up. Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Siman Resh Mem Sivkot Nechafei says that this whole cheshbon of the Maharsha is only true if the father's also going to be learning. Right? What was Abaye answering him? Kevin Dvar Torahu Chol Shadaita. What does that mean, Dibar Torahu? Since the father is also holding in Torah, Chol Shadaita. But if the father is, the alternative is the father is going to play golf, the alternative is the father is going to watch the football game, then bring the son who's learning a cup of water, then the son is not obligated to reject that from the father. Says the Shulchan Aruch, then he can accept it from the father. Okay, let's go weiter. Rabbi Tarfon Avala Ahi Ima. Rabbi Tarfon had an elderly mother. That whenever she wanted to get into bed, Rabbi Tarfon would bend over and allow her to climb on his back to get up into her high bed. When she would want to get out of bed, he would bend over, he would make himself into the step stool for his mother to be able to get out of bed. Also, so she came in to praise him in the Beis Medrash. Can you imagine how humiliating it is? She walked into the Beis Medrash and say, my little son, he's the greatest to keep it out of aim. Listen to what he does. So Amrilei, the Chacham said to Rabbi Tarfon, Adayin lo igata lachatzi kibud. Don't get so excited to think you're such a grace of knocker that you should get mafta yona because you bend down so your mother can climb on your back to get into bed, because klum zarka arniki b'fanech l'yam v'lo echlamta. Until you experience the level of kibud av ha'eim that she throws your wallet into the sea and you don't say anything, you're nothing special. So true, you bend down, you let her climb on your back to get into bed, that's impressive, but you're still nothing special. You don't deserve the Kibbut HaVeim award of the year until you get to the point of she throws your wallet into the ocean and you don't say anything. Tosfos has another version of the Rabbi Tarfon story, maybe more familiar to you. Look at Tosfos, Rabbi Tarfon. Yesh Birushalmi Pamachas Imei de Rabbi Tarfon of the Pazmaki Bidei Bechatzera. Rabbi Tarfon's mother once lost her shoe in the courtyard. V'yatzasa mimitasa levaksho. And she got out of bed in order to go find her shoes. V'sam Rabbi Tarfon yado tachas raglea la karkash latitanef raglea. So what did Rabbi Tarfon do? To make sure that his precious mother's feet would not get soiled, they wouldn't get dirty walking in the courtyard, he kept putting his hand out, she stepped on his hand. And he said, Doreses al yadav. So the Yerushalmi has another version that she's walking on his hands. V'odi sabi Yerushalmi, di'imid Rabbi Shmuel, koshayte v'shayte dav asei be Rabbi Shmuel, ni be midrasha, hayso rechatzis es raglav, Rabbi Shmuel's mother, every time he would come home from the Beis Medrash, she so wanted to honor him for his stature and learning that she would wash his feet. That's the part that's nice. Here's the part not so nice. V'hayso shoste es hamayim. And then that water from his dirty, that she had washed his dirty feet in, she would then drink that water. When he heard this is what his precious mother was doing with the water that she used, bad enough she insisted on washing his feet, but that she also, that, you know, my parents lived in Teaneck my whole life. They have since sold that house and they spend half their time here in Boca, half their time in Israel. Whenever I had to be in New York for whatever reason, I'd stay at my parents'. And I loved it that, no, my wife is amazing, but my mother would make me bright. The way a mother takes care of a son, so that was Kibbut HaVeim, letting her take care of me in that way. It's not to say I didn't enjoy it, I didn't benefit from it, I didn't love it, it wasn't great. But the geschmack a mother gets in, let me make you breakfast, let me take care of you, let me have your favorite drink, your favorite this, your favorite that, please let me make another thing for you. So Rabbi Shmuel is embarrassed. My mother never washed my feet when I got home from whatever I went there for. But okay, I'm not Rabbi Shmuel. So I don't come up to Rabbi Shmuel's feet. So Rabbi Shmuel's mother would wash his feet. Okay, that he could live with. But then she would drink the water? Why would she drink the water? That he couldn't stomach. So he was Mesari B'davar, Acher Baslav Nechachamim, Vaisa Kabelas Rabbi Shmuel, B'nash Loya Mekai Mitzvah's Kibud. V'nivalu Chachamim B'davar, V'shalu Rabbi Shmuel, V'sipur Lema Maisa, V'tzivu Loshi, Anichena Lasos Ritzona, V'inyan Zehu Kavod. So he explained to the Chachamim why he's not allowing her to. It's disgusting, I'm sure is what he said. And they said, okay, don't judge it. This is what she wants. That's part of Kibud, is doing what she wants. So the Tosfos quotes two more stories. The Gemara has one story that he used to bend down to let her get in a bed, bend down to let her get out of bed. Yerushalmi has two more stories that he used to let her walk on his hands. And Rabbi Shmuel's mother used to wash his feet and take a drink from it. This Gemara is quoted by the Stechemid or other poskim, the Puras Yosef, quotes this Yerushalmi, brings our Tosos. When it comes to the question of Baal Teshaktsu, we know we have an Isser of degrading, disgusting, repulsive things. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Baal Teshaktsu, and it expresses itself in different ways. If one feels an urge to relieve themselves, they're not allowed to hold it in. It's Baal Teshaktsu. To engage in disgusting things, eat disgusting things, is Baal Teshaktsu. So can you eat something disgusting for the purpose of refuah? Let's say they say eating echves, I don't know, a part of the animal, or cooked in a certain way, or rolled in a, marinated in a certain, something worse than that, not bitter medicine, that's not, I'm talking about, I don't know, yeah, they say, there's a big shaila, but they say if a woman eats the placenta of a baby, it's a skula, so that kind of a dover mos. If you heard that eating the placenta is a skula for having a baby, right, leave out the kashrus components for a moment, but can you eat a dover mos, something disgusting, for tzorech refuah? So this is a discussion that Steim Chemed quotes it from the Chida and his Machzik Bracha, and the Prima Gadon, the Masifta brings all this in the back, and the Aliba de Hilchusa. And some say that Baal Teshaktsu is to be understood objectively, that if something is categorically repulsive, it's disgusting, then it's disgusting. But others prove from our Gemara, from our Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi, that no, Rabbi Shmuel's mother, so here he says, why did she drink it? She thought it had a refuah element. Right? In those days, they were very much into omens and and homeopathic medicine, writing down a pusuk and putting it in an amulet, all kinds of things. So if you took the water that washed the feet of a great Talmud Chacham, of a great Godly Yisrael, it carried some medicinal, some healing component. She drank it Litzorach Refuah. It wasn't Stam, you know, she didn't want to go to the well. She drank it Litzorach Refuah. So you see from there that even though it was Meshukat, even though it's disgusting, the Baal Teshakti was relative to each person. And if it was for the Tzorach of Refuah, for that reason, they say it was Mutter. So you see this funny story in Tosos. First of all, it adds that other component, which is important, that it was Latzorach Refuah. But moreover, deduce halacha from here that something disgusting might be permissible if it's Latzorach Refuah. But come back to this other question. So the Gemara says, right, so they came in the Beis Medrash, wow, grace of praise, wow, you're amazing, you bend down, your mother climbs on your back, steps on your back to get into bed, ooh, wow, such kibbut ava'im. The Chacham say, we're not so impressed. We're not impressed. Why? Till your mother takes your wallet and throws it into the sea. We're not impressed. So what's the question there? We're going to get into this soon. Maybe not at our pace, but if you were learning at a normal pace, you'd get up to this soon. The question of Mishal Av or Mishal Ben. When we fulfill Kibbut Ava'im, who has to pay for it? Who has to pay for it? The parent or the child? So the parent says, I crave an Arnold Palmer iced tea. I crave some Arnold Palmer iced tea. Go out and buy me some. Okay, who pays for it? Does the child entitled to say, Kibbut Av means I have to get in the car, interrupt what I'm doing, and go get it for you? But give me your credit card. Give me some cash. Or does Kibbut Av go so far as to say, and you've got to pay for it? You got to pay for your esrog. Maybe you should have to pay for Kibbut Av. It's not crazy to think that you have to pay in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So the Gemara there has this discussion, Mishal Av or Mishal Ben, who has to fund the fulfillment of this mitzvah? Does it come out of the parent or the child? And the Gemara paskins, it's Mishal. Mishal Av, it comes from the parent. So the parent says, I want to fly to Israel to visit your sibling. I don't know how to make a ticket online. I don't know how to use these websites. Could you make me the ticket? So you say, sure, give me your credit card, I'll make the ticket. Right? That's Mishal Av. If it were Mishal Ben, you'd have to go make the ticket and use your credit card. So that's how we paskin. So why is it impressive then? Don't be so impressed that he bent down and became a human stool. Kibbut Av, it's not impressive till you fulfill Kibbut Av aim, till they take your wallet and throw it in the sea and you don't object. You don't react. What do you mean? That's not Kibbut Av. It's Mishal Av. I don't have to allow him to throw my wallet in the sea. I don't have to take a loss. It doesn't have to cost me. So this question is asked by the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam. Source number 3, page number 3. Page number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam has already paskened, as the Gemara concluded, the Kibbut Ava'im is Mishal Av. The parent has to pay. But then the Rambam continues by quoting Arhecha on the top line. If your parent takes your wallet, takes your gold watch, and throws it into the sea, you can't react, you can't lose your cool, you can't get angry. Accept it, v'yishtok, passively, quietly. That's how far kibbut goes. That's how far kibbut goes. So all the Nosei Kelim here, the Radvaz, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, the Mishnah Lamelech, the whole page all lights up, and they all ask the same question. If the Rambam paskins Mishal Av, that the father has to pay, then why should you have to tolerate the father taking your wallet, your gold cufflinks, and throwing them in the sea? Let him throw his own gold cufflinks in the sea. Why is Kibbut Ava'im throwing mine? This is their kasha. So, look at the Kesef Mishnah. Who wrote the Kesef Mishnah? The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Kara. Same author as the Shulchan Aruch. So he writes, Ahadi boilon machilas ovim mishal mi amrinon tashma shos rabbi yazar arichin kibbut ava'im amalam kidei sheitol arnik of yizurken liyam. Veina machlimo, vi amrus mishal aviv, my nafkin la mina. Klomar, I amarta kavada av ala ben, becheson kiss, eina el mishal av, imkein hai arniki dika amar. Rabbi Eliezer, Mishal Avu, my nafka mina lach limo. So in other words, we said Kibbut Av is that he throws the wallet in the sea and you don't react. Well, if it's Mishal Av, whose wallet's being thrown into the sea? The father's, if it's Mishal Av. Either literally is his wallet, or figuratively, he's going to have to reimburse the son because it's Mishalav. So why would the son get angry? What's the big deal that he didn't lose his cool when the father threw the wallet into the sea? The father had to cover that. So what's the big deal? So of course he didn't lose your cool. V'ukma b'roi l'yorsho. So v'ukma b'yori sh'yorsho. So what's the case? It's the father's money. It's not the son's money. So why is it impressive the son doesn't lose his cool? Because the son was positioned to inherit it. So the father's got a fortune, and the son's planning his whole life. He's not saving for retirement because he assumes he's going to just inherit what the father's going to leave him. And then this is Maisa, by the way, Maisa B'chol Yom. Maisa B'chol Yom. The elderly parents decide they're going to spend all their money. They're going on cruises. They're buying expensive experiences. They're giving it away. And the son says, whoa, 1 second, that's my Yerusha. As if he's entitled to it. But that's my Yerusha. So to see the father throw away the Yerusha and not to be angry and not to react and not to lose your cool, v'yishto, can be quiet, that's kibud av. So now the kasha the Kesef Mishnah is asking is, so I understand the pshat, if it's the father's wallet and the son's being quiet, why? He's seeing his Yerusha, his inheritance, go down the drain, and yet he accepts that, look, it's my father's money. My honoring my father means being quiet even while he throws away my inheritance. But the Rambam didn't write that. The Rambam says, it's the Arnak Yishohu, the Kishil Zehuvim, says the Rambam, Shelo. It's the son's jewelry. It's the son's precious metal is what the father's throwing away. The Yesh Lomar says, the Kesef Mishnah, the Sefer Lei, the Chiyamina Davka Mishalav, Ani Mila Lechvodo. Ama Kedesh Lo Tzaro, Yesh Lo La'abed Komam and Sheba Olam. Uwah. When is it that Kibarav comes from the father? That's when you have to be Mechabit him. Father says, buy me a nice tall can of Arnold Palmer iced tea and a nice bag of mesquite barbecue kettle potato chips. I'm only sharing what I sometimes get a craving for. My oldest daughter were here, she'd be laughing because there are times I get a craving late at night. I'm working and I make her go out to the local gas station and get me a big Arnold Palmer iced tea and a big bag of mesquite barbecue kettle potato chips. Those days are behind me. I'm trying to be healthy now. But so she did it with her debit card, which I paid for. So Mishalav, fine. Mishalav. So when is it Mishalav? I got to pay for it because I had the craving. It's for me. She's got to go out. She can't say I'm already in bed. I'm half asleep. I say, too bad. I don't want to go out myself. Got to go to the gas station. Too bad. That's her mitzvah of Kibarav. I have to pay for it. Mishalav. Mishalav. So why did the Rambam say that the example is the Zehuvim Shalom? Because in terms of kavod, the parents got to pay. But shelo letzaro, not to cause tzar to the parent, that's mishal ben. So at this point, if the parent throws the kid's gold cufflinks in the sea, if the child would react, that would create tzar, agmas nefesh, anguish for the parent. To avoid causing anguish to the parent, that comes from the child's pocket. So you could stop the parent from throwing your watch in the sea, because you're not obligated to pay in order to fulfill kavod. But once he's thrown it in the sea, now v'yishtok. And it's interesting what the Rambam said. Yikabo gzeres hakosuv. What's a gzeres hakosuv? What does the Rambam mean? Yikabo gzeres hakosuv v'yishtok. What do you mean yikabo gzeres hakosuv? It's a funny language. I think what he means is that this is min hashamayim. For Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want your watch to be floating out in the ocean, he would have made your father not have this premonition to throw it in the sea. So before he throws it in the sea, you're entitled to hide your precious things to make sure that he's not going to throw it away. And even when he's winding up to throw it, you're entitled to catch it. Because it's Mishalav. You don't have to pay for cover. But once he threw it in the sea, you should realize it's Gzeres HaKosev. This is Hashem's will, that you're out your watch. V'yishtok. In order to not be Mitzar, your father, now your responsibility is to what? Is to be quiet. I don't know. Could you take him to a Din Torah because it's Mishal Av? He wasn't entitled to throw it away. So the Lachem Mishnah also answers this question. And Lachem Mishnah says, look at the third line in the Lachem Mishnah. Li nira l'taretz, the Rabbeinu isle kedas harama, not the Ramar of Moshe Isulis, the Yad Rama. Shekasav atur biyordeya, tahad va'arnik yishaben matzil echlumei, dafka makame deshad yiliyam. When can you react and yell at your father, don't throw that, you crazy, that's my phone, don't throw it in the water. That's before he throws it. Because you could stop him. But once he threw it, you can't yell at him. To my dahavahava, what happened, happened. To stay quiet, now that's covered. Right? So his answer is, again, that beforehand, you're entitled to stop him because it's Mishalav. But after he's thrown it in, you have to accept him. It sounds like you don't go to a Beis Din and recover. At that point, Madahava Hava. What's done is done. Swallow it. You have to take the loss in order to not be Mitzayer. Taking your father to a Beis Din, Ein Sar Gedola Mizu. Imagine the scandal, you're taking him to Beis Din. Taking him to a Beis Din to recover the money, you're going to cause tsar. Mitzvah's cover demands that you don't cause tsar. Beforehand, you're entitled to prevent the loss. But after the loss, you're obligated to accept it and not to be mitzar. Yeah. Because you start yelling and you're going to be mitzarim. If you react and it becomes contentious and escalates, you're going to be mitzarim. So, you know, like I say, to hide it, to catch it, to grab his arm, you're entitled, mishalav. But once it's thrown in, what are you going to do? Stand on the dock and berate him? You're going to call him every name in the book? You're going to write him a nasty email? Covet at that time. Now again, this speaks to a bigger issue. If you remember, we spent last time, Tosfos mentioned last time, there was a one-line Tosfos. In the case of the mother who tore the shirt off him, Tosfos quoted the Medrash, Shaisa Meturefas Midaita. Talking about a woman who has dementia, a woman who's mentally compromised. So there you have to have more patience. But let's say there's a healthy person who's abusive to the child. All she does is destroy all of his items, destroys his relationship, destroys his marriage, destroys his life. You're not obligated for kavod to sustain abuse. So where are the boundaries of what's abuse and you're entitled to walk away? And what's not abuse that you have to be more patient and show kavod? It's a complicated question. But let's go weiter in the Gemara from here. Yes? Did what?
Could have eaten a snake.
Right.
Why does it say it's used for barrels and what they're doing? Which is a nonsensical, there's no reason for.
Right. Because it makes no sense, right? He's choosing an extreme example. It's a erratic behavior. It makes no sense. Okay, weiter. Rav Yosef kavashama kol kari de'ima. When Rav Yosef would hear the footsteps of his mother, Amar eko mekam shechina da'asya. Let me get up, because the shechina is coming. What does he mean by that? So this is entirely consistent with what we saw before, right? Remember the Gemara said that when Adam mechabed Abba ve'imo, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, ma'ala ani alem, ki'ilu darti b'nei mekibduni. That when a person honors their parents, I consider it as if I lived among them, and I too was honored. We saw the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation of that. Right? Shlosh ha'shutfen yesh ba'adam. The mother, the father, and Hashem. When you honor your mother, your father, you're also honoring Hashem. So because of that, Rav Yosef would jump up. Rav Yosef, who was blind, he would hear his mother's footsteps. Maybe that's why. When you're blind, you have a much finer sense of hearing. He heard his mother's footsteps. So he heard his mother's footsteps. He jumped up and he said, let me welcome the Shekhinah. Because when you honor your parents, you're welcoming the Shekhinah. So he said, let me welcome the Shekhinah. Amar Rabbi Yochan, Asher Mishalo Chama'an. Rabbi Yochan says something bizarre. Fortunate is one who dies before he grows up. Why? Since it's so hard to honor your parents, you're definitely going to violate Kibbut Ave'im. It's so difficult to be perfect in Kibbut Ave'im. Better not to have to be challenged with that experience. Look at Rashi. You're destined to be punished for failing to observe it the proper way. Better to not even be in that situation. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan asks on himself, Ki brato imo, mes aviv. When his mother was pregnant, his father died. Yelado mesa imo. When he was born, his mother died in childbirth. And that's what he was saying about himself, that he was fortunate to never have been in that position to have to fulfill kibbut avayim and not be able to do it right. So the Gemara says, Eini, is it true that Abaye never saw his parents? V'amar Abaye, Omra li aim. Abaye said, quoted, my mother used to say. So the Gemara concludes, Ahu me rabinte kavai. He wasn't quoting his mother. Rashi says, Omenes. He was quoting his nurse, the woman who raised him, his adoptive mother. So when Abaye said, my mother said, it wasn't his biological mother, it was his adoptive mother. But really, he had no parents. Ravasi, this is the part I wanted to get to. Ravasi had an elderly mother. One day, Amar Lebi'ina, she said, I want tachshit and I want some jewelry. Avidla. So Ravasi fulfilled her request, went to the jewelry district and bought some expensive jewelry. Bi'ina Gavra. Then she said, jewelry's nice, but you know what I really want? A husband. Ni'ayinlach. So he said, Ravasi says, let me go on J-date. Let me go meet with the Sharchan. Let me see what I can find out. But she said, Bina Gavra de Shapir Kivasach, my little son, my son Ravasi, I want a husband who's as good as you. What did Ravasi understand when she said that? I want a husband like you. He understood that his mother lost his mind. Tosfos Riyah Zakeh in here says, Nitrafa Daita. She had lost her mind. That's not a normal thing for a woman to say. I want to marry you, my son. Shavka va'azal la'arad Yisrael. So what did he do? He got up and he got out of there as quickly as he could. He moved to Israel. What did she do? Shamat ka'az la'abasrei. After he got to Eretz Yisrael, he heard that his mother came after him. She was on the next Nefesh B'Nefesh flight. Asal la'kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So Ravasi comes before Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le, he said, Ma'u latzeis me'eretz l'chutz la'aretz. Is this one of the permissible reasons to leave Eretz Yisrael? Because I'm trying to run away from my crazy mother. Is running away from a crazy mother one of the dispensations to leave Eretz Yisrael? So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said, Asur. Sorry, no. So Ravasi said, Likras ima mahu. What about to go greet my mother? Can I leave Eretz Yisrael to go greet her in Chutz Laretz? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Eini yodeya. I'm not sure. Asrach purta, Ravasi waited a little. Hadar asa. And then he came before Rabbi Yochanan again. And again he wanted to know, can I leave Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz to see my mother there? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Asi, nisartzeis o latzeis. I understand from you that you want to go back to Bavel. Makom yachzircha l'shalom. I give you a bracha that Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's called the Makom, should bring you back in peace. Also the Kamed Rabbi Lazar, Rav Asi came before Rabbi Lazar. Amalei, he asked him his question about this. Could you leave Eretz Yisrael to go greet your mother in Chutz La'aretz? He said, Chas v'shalom dilma mirtach rasach. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's angry at me that I forced him to let me leave Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Ravasi told Rabbi Loza the story about how Rabbi Yochanan said, Mokum yachzircha l'shalom, God bless you. Have a safe trip. Safe travels, God bless you. How do you interpret God bless you? Sometimes you could say, ooh, God bless you. Or you could say, God bless you. So he didn't know what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, God bless you. So he went to Rabbi Elazar to find out. So Amalei Rabbi Elazar said, "My Amalach knew. What did he tell you?" So Amalei Ravasi said, "Hamakom yachzircha l'shalom. May Hashem bring you back in peace." So Amalei Rabbi Elazar said to Ravasi, "Im isa derasach. If he really was angry, lahava mevarech lach. He wouldn't have given you a bracha. You don't give someone a sincere bracha when you're angry." Adahachi vahachi. While Ravasi was going to Chutz La'aretz to greet his mother, what happens? He heard Shama La Arona de Kaase. He heard she was in fact coming, but how was she coming? In a coffin. She had died. So he felt very bad. Amar Iyade, if I knew that she would die before I left Lonafki, I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Azoy. Rashi. Rashi. Nisratis Latzeis, Savaraya Shadaito Lachzul Mekomal the Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan interpreted that Ravasi really was just trying to get out of there, go back to Bavel. He said, Amokam Yachzircha L'Shalom Ad Mekomcha. May Hashem bring you back in peace to where you belong. Amalei Ravasi, Rabbi Lazar, Dil Machas V'Shalom Mirzach, Rasach Alai, Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe he's angry at me. Okay, that's the end of that. So I want to, within this sugya, there's an interesting discussion about going to Eretz Yisrael. Ravasi's mother wanted his attention, and what did he do? Where did he go? He ran away to Eretz Yisrael. Which raises a halacha question, which we'll try to look at very quickly. And that is, can a child make aliyah against their parents' objection? I remember when my sister made aliyah, and everyone wished my parents mazel tov, it was before nefesh b'nefesh, and my parents had very mixed feelings. What do you mean, mazel tov? They just took my grandchildren away. They just moved 6,000 miles away, 7-hour time difference away. I don't want a mazel tov. I want condolences. You know, true, we're Zionistic. I used to take them to the Salute to Israel Day parade. They're just living the dream we always told them. But we didn't really mean it. We didn't really mean for them to do it. So you have a lot of circumstance where a parent tells a child, don't make aliyah. I'm not going. I don't want you to go. Ah, we'll only hire a rabbi who says a bracha on Hallel Yom Atzmut. But really going? No, it's not for us. So the parent objects to the child making aliyah. Is a child obligated to answer and to obey a parent? So in order to understand that question, that conflict, you have to first establish that there's two things in conflict. In other words, when you have a conflict between two values or two mitzvahs, before you can talk which supersedes the other, first you have to establish that in fact you have a conflict. So do we in fact have a conflict between kibbut av eim and what would the other mitzvah be? Yeshiva aretz. Is it in fact a mitzvah to move to Israel? So let's fly through the rest of these sources very quickly. I previously gave a shir on this whole topic, so I tagged on this whole source sheet to the end of what we're seeing. It's Rosh Prakim. Next week we'll continue with the Gemara, but I want to go through this fairly quickly. Mitzvah Kivet Avim appears twice in the Torah, in Yisro and in Be'eschanan, twice when the Aseres Adibras are given. There's a difference between the two. There are two differences. In one place it says, Kashut Tzivcha Hashem Lokecha, and Laman Yitav Lach. And in Yisro, it didn't have either of those clauses or phrases. When we started Kibbut Aveim, the sugya of Kibbut Aveim several weeks ago, I shared with you the great Abar Benel. What does it mean? Laman yarichun yamecha. You'll live a long life. Remember what we said? No? We should just give the same shir every week. Yeah. The Abar Benel said, Laman yarichun yamecha. What do you mean? We know people who excel at Kibbut Aveim and they live a short life. We know people who are terrible at honoring their parents and they have great longevity. What happened to the promise of Laman Yarichun Yamecha? What's the answer? The Bar Benel says, Laman Yarichun Yamecha is not a quantitative bracha, it is a qualitative bracha. It doesn't mean you'll live longer years. It means if you take care of your parents, your children are going to take care of you. If your children see you put your parents in a home, they're going to put you in a home. If you never visit your parents, never host them, they're never going to visit or host you. So the greatest investment of Kivat Aveim is you're investing in how they're going to take care of you in your old age. Laman yarichun yamecha. You want a long life qualitatively? Kavedes avicha ve'es imecha. So it's three of the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about the connection again between honoring parents and honoring Hashem. So it's four, the Shulchan Aruch and Resh Mem begins. Tzarech lizar me'od b'chvod ava v'ima uv'mora am. One has to be vigilant, extremely careful in honoring parents. It's unusual. Shulchan Aruch doesn't write Tzarech lizar ma'od lishmor es haShabbos. It doesn't say you have to be very careful only to eat kosher. But when it comes to Kibbut Aveim, you have to be very careful in observing Kibbut Aveim. The Rambam also calls it mitzvah Kibbut Aveim mitzvah asay gedola. This is a great, great mitzvah. What makes it so great? And why do we have to be so careful? What's at stake? Not just our relationship with our parents, but our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, we have to be very careful. So we've established, I hope we had established it already, that on the one hand, we have the value of the halachic imperative of Kibbut Aveim. You have to honor parents. What about the conflict? Is there an obligation to move to Israel? The Mishnah Ksuba says, source 6, page 5, Hakom Mal Neretz Yisrov Ein Hakom Motzin. A person can force all the members of his household to make aliyah, but you can't force them to move. You could force the members of your household to move to Yerushalayim, which is holier than even the rest of Israel, but you can't force them to leave. Either the man or the woman could be the one who is putting on the pressure to move. What does it mean that you can force? Do you put them in handcuffs, tie them in the car, throw them in the back seat, and move to Eretz Yisrael? What does that mean, force them? So the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan, Hu Omer Lalos, Vi Omer Shlo Lalos. He says, we're going on the next Nefesh B'Nefesh flight. She says, over my dead body, Kofen Osa Lalos. We force her to go up. Vim Lav, then if she says, I'm not interested, Tetze Belo Ksuva. He is relinquished of a Ksuva obligation. He gives her the get, and he does not have to pay the Ksuva. That was her protection. That was her financial stability. So what we mean that he's able to force her to go is, he could say, I'm going. If you come, great. If not, I'm released of the ksuba obligation. He omeres lalos. She says, we're moving to Israel. Hu omer shlo lalos. He says, no way. Kofen oso lalos. We tell him, you got to go. Im lav yotzi v'sen ksuba. So, and if you don't go, you still have to pay the ksuba. So whoever is the one who wants to move has the upper hand. And what is the pressure point? Money. The finances is the pressure point. So what do you see? Why would you be allowed to pressure the other to move? And why would you be released from financial responsibility and obligation if you don't move, or if they don't move, if it weren't a mitzvah? If it weren't a mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Resh Mem. Here it says, here the Shulchan Aruch records exactly this Gemara, that you can put the pressure and your financial responsibilities are proportional to whether or direct correlate with whether you go or don't go. So what does that strongly imply? As we said, that there is a mitzvah to move to Israel. Why else would I be exempt from the ksuba for not moving to Israel if there weren't a mitzvah to go? The Ramban says, okay, you step ahead, Marv, hold on 1 second. The Ramban, page 6, source 8, Bamidbar, the Ramban writes, Al daiti mitzvahs asei hi. The Ramban writes, based on the pasuk, V'horashtam esa'art v'yishavtem bo, ki lachem nasati esa'art l'reshes osa. The Ramban says, there is a positive commandment, a mitzvahs asei, to go to Israel. Yishuv ha'aretz, settling Israel, is a mitzvahs asei. Whenever you buy something at the makolet, whenever you contribute to the economy of Israel, when you are walking 4 steps in Israel, however you're fulfilling Yishuv Ha'aretz, then you are in the fulfillment of a mitzvah. It happens to be tangentially, the Rambam never quotes it. Why does the Rambam not quote or count the mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz? The Ramban says explicitly, it's a mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz. The Rambam doesn't say it. Why not? So the famous Megillah Esther writes, Nearly kimash lo mona harav u'lefisha mitzvah Yishuv Ha'aretz v'yishav ta'ah, Lo na na rak bimei Moshe v'Yeshua v'David. Because man shall go me artsim, ava acher shall go me alad masam. Ein mitzvah no hagas l'doros ad eiz bo Mashiach. The Megillah Esther, a super commentary in the Rambam, says, why does the Rambam not count the mitzvah to move to Israel? For a very simple reason, because the Rambam doesn't believe it's a mitzvah. He says that today, ever since we were expelled from Israel, the kedusha was l'shait lo l'asad lavo. Kedusha is not enduring, and therefore there's no mitzvah to return to the land until the time of Mashiach. This is, of course, the philosophy of Satmar and the extreme, not to associate Satmar with the Neturei Karta, but the extreme philosophy of the Neturei Karta. But the Satmar bases themselves on this commentary of the Megillah Esther, that the Rambam did not quote the mitzvah of moving to Eretz Yisrael because there is no mitzvah. The Shalosh Shavuos, the Gemara quotes, La'ala Bachoma, based on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the three oaths that you can't violate. What do the other poskim all do with the Shalosh Shavuos? They say that's agarita. That's not halacha. Halacha, there's a mitzvah, v'yishavtim ba, a mitzvah to live in Israel. That's agarita. However, these other groups quote the agarita and this Megillah Esther. Yeah, the Stechemet also writes, Madhishmet zeh Rambam near this relay midrabbanan. Stechemet says the Rambam left it out not because it's not a mitzvah. Rambam left it out why? Because it's a mitzvah derabbanan. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Avnei Nezer weighs in here also. I don't want to take our limited time. Is it a mitzvah? Not a mitzvah. Why did the Rambam omit it? The Magen Avram, we paskin, however. First of all, we paskin we paskin. The majority paskin, but the Rambam left it out, not because he doesn't believe it's a mitzvah, but it's subsumed under other mitzvahs for other reasons. The Magen Avraham paskins in Orach Chaim Siman Reish Mem Ches, verse 12, he says, Davka adas les yashir yishomam afilo manas lahachzer kevin da afilo mahalach dalet amos beretz Yisrael mitzvahi. Magen Avraham uses the Lashon. When you go visit Israel, when you go on a mission to Israel, you go for Sukkot in Israel, you go visit your grandchild and take him to the plaza in Israel. Whenever you walk dalet amos, I love walking. I love walking around Israel. Here, I wouldn't even walk to Publix. Here, I don't even want to walk home. Those of you who know where I live. But when you're in Yerushalayim, who doesn't want to walk all day? There's something geshmak about walking. You know what's geshmak about walking? Says the Magen Avraham, Rav Avraham Gambiner, every dalet amos, every 6 feet you walk in Israel, it's a mitzvah. It's his lashon. Tafil mahalach dalet amos b'Eretz Yisrael mitzvahi. Just walking 4 cubits, 6 feet in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. It seems from the Shulchan Aruch that this is in fact how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Source 13, Resh Mem Ches, that Ha'olah l'Eretz Yisrael nizdam lo sheyara afilu b'erev Shabbos kevin dvar mitzvah yachol lifrosh u'poslik imam lishbos. Shulchan Aruch says even though we have laws of commerce and laws of travel and you can't leave on a long journey on a Friday because you may come to be mechal Shabbos, but when the goal is to move to Israel, kevan to what? Kevan to dvar mitzvah hu. So what do you see? The Shulchan Aruch is paskening that moving to Israel is a mitzvah. Now what kind of mitzvah is it? Marvin, this is what you said before. Reb Moshe paskins famously in Source 14, Igrish Moshe Chelik Aleph Kuf Beis. Reb Moshe says it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. Meaning, sometimes I have a mitzvah, I have to do something like take the dalad minim. Others are a mitzvah kiyumis. I'm not obligated, but if I do something, then this is how I do it with a mitzvah. What's an example of a mitzvah kiyumis? Tzitzis, dalad kanfos. I don't have to wear tzitzis, but if I put on a four-cornered garment, then I need to wear tzitzis on the four-cornered garment. What is the nature of the mitzvah of living in Israel? So Rav Moshe holds, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's not like, how could I be sitting in chutz la'aretz? I gotta move. Just like I can't choose not to take dalad minim. I can't choose not to light the menorah. I can't choose not to hear the shofar. Those are mitzvah chiyuvi. I have to do them. No, this is like tzitzis. I don't have to move to Israel, but if or when I do, I'm in fulfillment of a bona fide mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Others hold it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. But we've established enough, Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, Rav Moshe, others, Stechemet, at least it's the Rabbanan, that on the one hand, I have a mitzvah kibbet ava'im. And on the other hand, I have a mitzvah called Yishuv Ha'aretz, whether it's chiyuvis, kiyumis. So I want to go on nefesh b'nefesh. I want to be in fulfillment of a mitzvah kiyumis. I want to fulfill a mitzvah. My parents say, stop, stay where you are. One last source to show you it's a mitzvah, by the way. Source 15 is the Sifrei in Parshas Re'eh. Sifrei says, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yehuda b'Maseh Rabbi Maaseh b'Cheresh Rabbi Chanin ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Yonis and Shayotzim Yichutz La'aretz Yotzim Chutz La'aretz V'Yigiyu L'Paltam V'Zochro Eretz Yisrael. They're traveling, they're leaving Israel, and they remember Eretz Yisrael. Zokvo Yineim V'Dolgu D'Moseim. They cry, they rend their garments, they call out the Pasuk V'Yerashto Osom V'Yeshavta Bar'atzom V'Chazru Bo'ol L'Mekomam. They can't bring themselves to leave Israel. They return home and they say, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael Shkula K'neged Kol Mitzvah Shebetorah. That living in Israel is equal to all the mitzvos in the Torah. Some unfortunately think that you can live in Israel means that you're exempt from having to do all the mitzvos in the Torah. That's good enough. It's not what it means. But it means is, just like Talmud Torah keneged kulam, we have a number of mitzvos that we don't really mean you don't have to do the others, but we're trying to show how great they are. Clearly, it's something which is a mitzvah. So we have this conflict. What do we normally do when there's a conflict? If your parents tell you not to do a mitzvah, what do? You listen to your parents or you listen to Hashem? So normally you listen to your parents. And the Gemara learns this in Yevamos. Gemara Yevamos Daf Hey. Pasuk says, Ishimov aviv tirov eshabso say tishmoru. Honor your parents, or have awe of your parents and observe Shabbos. Why does it tell you, juxtapose, to tell you, honor your parents, as long as they're not telling you to violate Shabbos. But if they're telling you to violate Shabbos, then put them aside and honor me. Kulchem chayav nechvodi, Hashem says, because they too are obligated to honor me. So I come first. The Rambam codifies this in Achos Mamre, Mishomel lo'ov lavor advar Torah, ben shomel lo'lavor mitzvah lo saseh, o levatel mitzvah saseh. Because maybe I'll say, yeah, when is it that you have to not listen to your parents and they tell you to eat chazer? when they tell you to do a malach on Shabbos. But if they're telling you not to fulfill a mitzvah asay, then you should listen to them. No. Rambam says, even if they're asking you to forfeit a positive commandment, like moving to Israel, still, you don't listen to them. That's a Beferish Gemara. And that's how we pass him in Shulchan Aruch Rish Mem. Don't listen to them. So it should be cut and dry, right? It should be absolutely clear, cut and dry. What do? Sayonara, bon voyage, aliyah, nefesh benefesh, hatikva, go to Israel. That's it. However, it's not so clear. Not so clear. So the Mabit has a tshuva about this. Mabit has this discussion here, page 10. He says, "Tshuva chayv l'kayim nidra ve'inu chayv." What was the question? Yilamdenu rabbenu Ruven shenadar she'im yelo kach v'kach she'idur b'tzfas. He said that if such and such happened, he took an oath he would go move to Israel. Ve'atan iskayim adavar v'avimo einam anichem asul alachas. And what he asked for came true, but his parents won't let him go. V'gam kein ishto einu rotzel ador sham. Not only up against his parents, but even a more formidable force, he's up against his wife. And she says, "Tuena shekasa b'ksuvim shelo yitzena l'dor b'shul makom acher gam kibera ve'em gadol har Yaakov avinu ne'en ashchav be'ishana yoren rabbenu imchal ha'neder miyuchal asos hatara." So should he release himself of his vow and stay put? Or should he complete his vow and move to Israel? Says the Mabit, "Chayv l'kayim nidra ve'enu chayv lochosh tzavas avi'imo sh'amr lo shelo yilech." Like we understood, a conflict between honoring your parents and a mitzvah, doing the mitzvah comes first. You should fulfill your vow, move to Israel, zay gezunt, parents and wife, I'm out of here like Vladimir, I got to do the mitzvah, that comes first. It should be cut and dry, right? Here's the wrench. And with this, we move towards conclusion. Source 20. There's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha maksiv l'malam min inyan vayomas terach b'charon. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, if I leave and abandon my father, it looks like I walked out on an old man. I'm like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, lecha, lech lecha, lecha ani potercha mikibud av'eim, ve'ein ani poter la'achar mikibud av'eim. That's why Hashem said, lech lecha, to Gzeres HaKasev. You should put moving to Eretz Canaan ahead of your father, but since I don't say lecha to others, they don't come first. Rav Avadya and Yechav Adas, in a footnote, quote this medrash. Panam Yafos, Kasu Beferish HaMedrash, quotes the Panam Yafos, who quotes the medrash, and he says, Nimta Shagon Aflo Mechalik Ben Kishirot Alalos Mechutz Laretz Laretz Yisrael, Shebezeki Bera Eveim Adif, Ilu Latzeis Meretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz Mitzis Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Adifa, Gam HaChachmas Adam Kasu Yeshraya Brura Mea Medrash, so in the footnote, Rav Avadya makes reference to another opinion that says, based on the Medrash, that this is different. In this conflict between Aliyah and Kibud Av Ve'Eim, Kibud Av Ve'Eim comes first. The Rashbeit, source 22, which is quoted in Yechav Adas, L'chor yesh l'ar b'zem mashakot of Rashbeit, Ein lahat latzis meretz shol chutzarz el olam mitora amnei mitzis kibud aveim. Mash meshav makom mitzis kibud aveim nidcheis hametzah shishiv eretz Yisrael. Ushelo kedivrei hamabit, unlike the mabit that we saw inside. Then I quoted our Gemara that we just saw, kedushin lamed aleph. This whole discussion that Rav Asi books out on his mother and goes to Eretz Yisrael, not only leaves her to make aliyah, but leaves her, makes aliyah in order to leave her. That's why he's going. That's why he's going. And the big discussion, when are you allowed to leave? Is it only if you intend to come back? And so on. We conclude, source 27, Rav Avadya's conclusion, there in Yechav Adas, Sikum. Also, la redes meretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, afilu kedei l'atzarev l'horav adarim b'achutz la'aretz, l'kayim mitzvos kibud av'eim. Right, because we had both in our sugya. Rav Asi first wanted to make aliyah in order to leave his mother behind. That's the conflict. And then you add in the opposite direction. Can you leave Eretz Yisrael in order to go see your mother? So on leaving Eretz Yisrael to go honor your mother, Rav Avadya says, no, you can go l'kabel p'neho Rav Alachzor l'Eretz Yisrael. You can't leave permanently, but to go see them in return. And in terms of yeshiva b'Eretz Yisrael, shishkula keneged kol mitzvah b'Torah miyuchad k'shekavon l'siyasha b'Eretz Yisrael, shei mitzvah, then he says you can make aliyah even if your parents ask you not to. So both shailas in both directions result from our sugya of Rav Asi. We'll pick up with the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan here Mirz Hashem, next week.